Continuing with another community connection on this Tuesday, we have Dr. Vu with Urgent Care talking to us about food safety during the Memorial Day holiday. Now, Dr. Vu, what can you tell us about that?
First of all, I'd like to thank you, Garrett, for having me on. And to start off with food poisoning, which we see quite a number of during Memorial Day weekends and the holidays upcoming, with 4th of July coming up. Food poisoning, which is also called foodborne illness, it's caused by eating contaminated food, infectious organisms, including bacteria, viruses, and parasites, and their toxins, are among the most common causes of food poisoning. You often hear salmonella, staph aureus, as some of the most common culprits. Oftentimes, the contamination can occur at home if food is incorrectly handled or cooked.
Now, okay, as we were mentioning, it's the Memorial weekend coming up too. How often do you see foodborne illnesses or food poisoning during that time?
During this time, we see a good number, a pretty steady influx during this time due to just the amount of people that are serving food at this time of year and some of the weather constraints that are limited with the food, with improper storage or improper handling and whatnot.
Okay, and if somebody were to end up with food poisoning, what should they do?
Great question. If someone ends up with any of the hallmark symptoms of food poisoning, including nausea, vomiting, or diarrhea, you want to make sure you seek medical attention. If you experience frequent vomiting and are unable to keep liquids down, if you experience diarrhea for more than 3 days or have extreme pain or severe cramping. Also, you want to keep an eye out for signs and symptoms of dehydration, like excessive thirst and dry mouth, little or no urination, and severe weakness. You may require intravenous fluids administered by a medical professional if you're dehydrated and are unable to keep fluids down when you drink. These are all things that we do routinely at MedExpress.
Okay, and how can someone prevent this from happening? Obviously, everybody wants to have a good Memorial weekend, so if you can prevent it in the best way possible, how would they do that?
Good question. To prevent food poisoning at home, especially on Memorial Day, you always want to make sure to wash your hands, utensils, and food services often. You want to keep your raw foods separate from ready-to-eat foods, and you want to cook your foods to a safe temperature. Also, you want to always remember to double-check expiration dates on foods, such as chicken, hot dogs, or any other meats prior to cooking them.
Okay, and how big of a problem is this, like, nationwide?
Nationwide, I think, some of the statistics out, the Federal Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, they pegged the number at about 48 million, or roughly one out of every six Americans getting sick. Over 128,000 people are hospitalized, and 3,000 people actually die from foodborne illnesses. The FDA calculates that about 2-3% of all food poisoning cases lead to secondary long-term illnesses such as arthritis, kidney failure, and even meningitis. So this is not something to be taken very lightly.
And why is it important to use fresh, clean plates and utensils for preparation during the Memorial Day weekend?
A lot of common sense items. So what you always want to do is to begin using your food preparation with clean hands, utensils, and surfaces. You also want to take a look at your produce and proteins. If there are any bruised or damaged areas since the time you bought them, you want to cut them away and remove them. You want to discard anything that appears to be rotten on produce. Also, while your sink is nearby, you want to make sure your produce is rinsed thoroughly with water. Certain items, such as cucumbers or melons, should be scrubbed with a produce brush. You want to make sure you pat them dry after a thorough cleaning. If your package of pre-cut produce indicates on the wrapping that it's pre-washed, it's probably likely ready to consume. And it's also recommended to only wash your produce once, right before you're ready to eat it. Washing and storing your produce to enjoy later usually causes it to spoil faster because you're taking all the waxes and things off of it that are there for a reason. Furthermore, you also want to avoid cross-contamination by using separate cutting boards and utensils for produce and raw meat or eggs.
And while you're talking about food here a little bit too, how long can perishable food, especially in hot outdoor weather, which we're seeing a lot of now, sit out?
Great question, especially with this upcoming heat wave that's probably going to start here in July, June or July. It's really easy to leave perishable foods like meat, cheese, and potato salad out in the sun during cookouts. You always need to remember to refrigerate or freeze them promptly after preparation. So when in doubt, throw it out. You're going to hear me commonly refrain to this. So if you're unsure about how long the food has been prepared, served, or stored, simply throw it out. food left at room temperature too long may contain bacteria or toxins that you're not going to be able to destroy simply by reheating or just recooking. Don't even try to taste food that you're unsure about. Just throw it out. If it looks and smells fine, that doesn't necessarily mean it's safe to eat. So the common refrain here is just to throw it out. Also, according to the USDA, food should never be left out of the refrigeration for more than 2 hours. And back to what you're referring to, if temperatures are greater than 90 degrees or above 90 degrees, which we'll see here, you know, fairly soon, food should not be left out for more than an hour. So the common rule is you want to keep your hot foods hot, whether it's via campfire, via portable stove, and you want to keep your cold foods cold using ice, frozen cooler packs, or another cold source.
And we're talking about temperatures of food. What is the proper cooking temperature to kill bacteria, especially in meat?
Great question here. Raw ground beef, pork, lamb, veal, general rule of thumb is you want to cook that to about 160 degrees. While raw poultry, you want to keep it 165 degrees or so internally. Making sure you use that food thermometer is the only way to be certain if your food has reached a high enough temperature to destroy foodborne bacteria. However, if you don't have a thermometer handy, it's always a good rule to cook meat until the juices run clear. If your burger still has reddish juices coming from the top, it may not be necessarily ready or cooked fully yet. If you're still unsure about how other cuts of meat are supposed to be, oftentimes you take the largest section, cut into it, and look at the color. Fish and poultry, they should be white and flaky. So if you see opaque and pink colors, that may indicate that it's not quite fully cooked yet. For safety and quality, you should always allow meat to rest for at least 3 minutes before carving or consuming. If you prefer a more well-done cook on your meat, you can also choose to cook to higher temperatures, the temperatures that I referred to earlier, just general base guidelines.
All right, and I kind of want to go back to the expiration date and making sure that people check the proper dates and whether a food has expired or not. If people are shopping in the store and they see something has expired, what should they do? I think a lot of people would just put it back and be like, this is bad, but you don't want the next person that comes by who doesn't check the expiration date to pick it up.
Absolutely, and you know, some people will just happen to overlook it, and you know, then they pick it up. So what you want to do is notify whoever's working in the store and just let them know, hey, this product has expired. And more than likely, they'll kind of take it out of their stock so the next person doesn't pick it up.
Okay, and are there any other safety tips for grilling or cooking that people need to know to keep in mind for the Memorial Day weekend?
Absolutely. When it comes to grill safety, especially around children, you always want to supervise a hot burger food grill when it's in use, and you never want to grill indoors. It's also best to use long-handled tools that are especially made for grilling to keep the chef safe, because we don't want to use burns and things like that, which occur pretty commonly as well. The grill should always be clean before use, especially after a long winter of infrequent use. If you have any excess dust or grease, that can accidentally cause a fire. Furthermore, fire safety is pretty important. You also want to have a fire extinguisher nearby and make sure that's up to date and functioning as well.
That was another Community Connection here on K1AM 1400 and FM 93.3.